Chapter 65. As they came within the arc of his sword, or the reach of his lashing feet or striking fists, men went down like grain in a summer storm. To Kylar, who had always been gifted at fighting, battle suddenly made sense. The chaos unfolded into beautifully intricate, interlocking, and logical patterns. Just by looking at a man's face, he could judge instantly. Parry left, hesitate, lunge, clear. A man died and fell far enough away that he didn't impede Kylar's movements. Next, sweep right, roll in, bare fist to nose. Spin, hamstring, throat, parry, riposte, stab. Parsed to the individual percussion of each chamber of his heart, battle had a rhythm, a music. Not a sound was out of place. The tenor of ringing steel layered over a bass of the fists and feet hammering flesh, soft to hard, hard to soft, and the baritone of men's curses punctuated by the staccato percussion of rending mail. With his talent singing, Kylar was a virtuoso. He fought in a fine frenzy, a dancer possessed. Time never slowed, but he found his body reacting to sights he didn't consciously see, turning, dodging under blows his mind never registered, striking with the awesome speed and grace of that angel of death, the Night Angel. The Highlanders sought to overwhelm him by force of numbers. Their blades caught the air within an inch of Kylar's ear, within half an inch of his stomach, a quarter of an inch from his thigh. He rode the front of each beat, cut the margins closer and closer, until the bodies he was killing were being pushed forward instead of falling back, and pressing in, closer on him. He sheathed retribution, and grabbed the hand holding a blade aimed at his belly, and yanked a skinny Highlander across the circle to stab his fellow. Reaching around his own back with a knife, he diverted a sword thrust while his other knife found an eye socket. Two spears came for him, and he dropped to the floor, yanking both forward. As each impaled a body, he swung up, destroying another Highlander's face with a kick. But the situation was hopeless. Within a cage of tangled weapons and thrashing, dying men, he'd be trapped in moments. Light as a cat, he sprang to the back of a man dying on his knees and vaulted off the shoulder of one of the impaled spear-bearers. As he flipped sideways through the air, a ball of green witchfire the size of his fist streaked through the air at him. It caught his cloak and broke into pieces. He landed on his feet and ducked under a sword cut. His cloak burst into green flame. Kylar tore the cloak off as he dove between two spears. Holding one edge of the cloak, he came to his feet and wrapped the cloak around another of his attackers. The green flame raced for the man's skin, and there burned a fierce blue as he screamed. Another ball of witchfire sizzled through the air, and Kylar dove behind one of the pillars supporting the high ceiling. There were two beats of rest. Kylar had killed or disabled more than half the Kalidorans, but now the others played to their strengths. Point. Counterpoint.
To the captain! Keep a Meister in view!
Roth shouted. Men streamed to the captain to form a wedge between Kylar and Roth, who had retreated to the throne to watch. But Kylar wasn't wasting his time as he stood in the protection of the pillar. He knew that if he wanted a chance at Roth, he had to kill the witches. Both of them were eyeing the spaces between the pillars where he would have to run. He pooled the Kakari in his hand, and keeping the feel of those fingers of magic in his mind, willed it to dribble down the length of his sword. Seeming to sense his urgency, the Kakari coated the steel instantly. Both Kakari and steel shimmered out of visibility. Kylar dodged out from the pillar, and the fingers were on him instantly. He cut in a quick circle and felt them shrivel and die out of existence. Grabbing the edge of one of the long tapestries that covered the walls of the throne room, Kylar moved toward the pillar, but not before witchfire leaped from a witch's fingers. If he'd had time to think about it, Kylar wouldn't have tried to block with his sword. It was insanity to try to block magic. But it was his ingrained response. The flat of his blade hit the green globe of fire. Instead of bursting, the fire whooshed into the blade. Kylar dodged around a pillar with the tapestry in one hand and a sword now visible because of the green flame crackling through it. With all the strength of his talent, he leaped. He soared into the air in the middle of the throne room, and then, as the tapestry met a pillar, it abruptly changed his trajectory and launched him up the steps. The other witch must have thrown witchfire that Kylar hadn't seen, because the tapestry gave way and tore a moment before Kylar was going to release it. He hit the landing between the flights of stairs with 8 feet of burning tapestry in his hands. He hurled it toward the Highlanders and slashed at the witch, chanting not 2 steps away. The top of the witch's head opened, exposing his brain. The man spun, but his lips completed his incantation. The thick black tendrils that had been squirming under the skin of his arms fattened grotesquely like rippling muscles and tore free of the witch's arms, bursting through his skin. Power roared from the dying witch, and he staggered, trying to find Kylar. Kylar jumped behind him. He kicked the witch so hard that the man lifted off the ground and crashed into the Highlanders. The flailing black tendrils ripped into the men, sucking them in like greedy hands and chewing through them with a sound like logs in a sawmill. Even as the black tendrils were tearing through the soldiers, Kylar felt, more than saw, the white light forming behind him. He turned in time to see the homunculus streaking through the air. It dodged under his desperate slash and stabbed tiny claws into his chest. He was already jumping to the side when he felt the concussion and saw the air ripple. Reality bubbled in a line toward him. The rippling air curved, following him as he ran. Then the air tore open. He vaulted all the way to the wall and nearly caught another ball of witchfire with his face. The pitworm lunged forward into reality, barely missing him. It thrashed, furious, tearing the hole open wider and hooking fiery claws around 2 of the pillars, mere feet away. Kylar ripped the homunculus from his chest and slapped it onto a soldier's face. The pitworm lunged again. Kylar leapt straight up. Its lamprey-like mouth shot out, latched onto the screaming man, and sucked him back into the pit. By the time Kylar landed, both pitworm and soldier were gone. Kylar turned and jumped for the top of the stairs, but he was too slow. Even as he left the ground, he saw a blur of light streaking toward him. There was no time to draw a throwing knife. Kylar hurled his sword at the last witch. The bolt of magic blasted his left shoulder. As the momentum of his leap carried him up and forward, the blast made him flip end over end backward. He crunched into the marble floor at the foot of the throne and felt his left knee shatter. For a long moment, his eyes refused to focus. He blinked and blinked and finally cleared the blood away. He saw retribution buried to the hilt through a witch 10 paces away, its blade black with his kakari. He realized that he was viewing the dead witch through a pair of legs. His eyes followed the leg up to Roth's face. "Stand up," Roth said. He plunged his longsword through Kylar's lower back. Kylar gagged as Roth twisted the blade in his kidney. Then the hot metal lifted away. Something pulled Kylar to his feet. The pain was like a cloud making everything fuzzy and indistinct. Confused, Kylar stared at the dead witches. "Who picked me up?" "All the Ethlings of God King Orsul
are witchborn," Roth said. "Didn't you know?"
Kylar stared at Roth, dumbly. Roth was talented? The invisible hands released him, and he folded as he put weight on his destroyed left leg. The marble floor jarred him once more.
"Get up,"
Roth said. He stabbed Kylar's groin and cursed him. Kylar dropped his head onto the marble as Roth's screaming became inarticulate. The sound of Roth's voice faded to a murmur next to the roaring voice of pain. The pain flashed in another bar through his stomach as Roth stabbed him again. Then he must have picked Kylar up again, because Kylar felt his head lolling to one side. If he'd felt pain before, now it became agony. Every part of his body was being scoured with fire, dipped in alcohol, packed with salt. His eyelids were lined with crushed glass, his optic nerves were being chewed by little teeth, and after his eyes, every tissue, sinew, muscle, and organ marinated in misery in its turn. He was screaming, but his mind cleared. Kylar blinked. He was standing before Roth, and he was aware and dismayed. He must have landed on his left knee when he'd crashed to the marble, because it was demolished. He was bleeding inside, his intestines leaking slow death into his viscera, stomach acid scorching his intestines, a kidney pouring black blood. His left shoulder looked like it had kissed a giant's hammer.
"You won't die easy," Roth said. "I won't allow it. Not after what you've done. Look what you've done. My father will be furious."
There it was. He was dying. Kylar could perch unsteadily on his one good leg, but he had no weapons. His sword and the Kakari were 10 paces away. They might as well have been across the ocean. No weapons. And Roth was, even now, careful not to come within range of his hands. Kylar didn't have so much as a belt left.
"Are you ready to die?"
Roth said, his eyes glowing malevolence. Kylar was staring at his right hand. Of all the beaten, sliced, and smashed places on his body, his fingers were healthy, perfect, healed. Wasn't that the hand he'd cut on the window last night?
"I'm ready,"
he said, surprising himself.
"Any regrets?"
Roth asked. Kylar looked into Roth and understood him. Kylar had always had enough darkness in his soul to understand evil men. Roth was trying to wring anguish from him. Roth wanted to kill him while he thought of all the things he hadn't done. Roth reaped despair.
"Dying well is easy," Kylar said. "It only takes a moment of courage. It's living well that I couldn't do. What's death compared to that?"
"You're about to find out,"
Roth spat. Kylar smirked, and then smiled as rage washed over Roth.
"Killing Logan was more fun,"
Roth said. He rammed his sword into Kylar's chest. Logan. The thought cut through Kylar more cruelly than the sword in Roth's hand. Kylar had lived by the sword. Dying by it was neither unexpected nor unjust. But Logan had never even wanted to hurt anyone. Roth killing Logan wasn't right. It wasn't fair. It wasn't just. Kylar stared at the steel stabbed through his chest. He took Roth's hand in his own and pulled himself up the sword, impaling himself to the hilt. Roth's eyes widened.
"I am the Night Angel,"
Kylar said, gasping on the steel through his lung.
"This is justice. This is for Logan.
There was a ting and the sound of metal rolling on marble. The Kakari leaped for Kylar's hand and was caught squarely by Roth. Triumph lit his eyes. He laughed. But Kylar grabbed Roth's shoulders and stared him in the eye.
I am the Night Angel, Kylar repeated. This is justice. This is for Logan.
Kylar lifted his right hand. Roth looked confused. Then he looked at his left hand. The Kakari was turning to liquid and gliding through his fingers. His hands scrambled as they'd scrambled across the wood floor of the boat shop and found nothing. The Kakari slapped into Kylar's palm and formed an enormous punch dagger on his fist. Kylar slammed his fist into Roth's chest. Roth looked down, his disbelief turning to horror as Kylar drew the dagger out, his horror turning to fear as his heart pumped blood directly into his lungs. Roth shrieked, a shrill denial of his own mortality. Kylar released the prince and tried to step away, but his limbs refused to obey him. His knee buckled, and he crashed to the ground with the Caladoran prince. Roth and Kylar lay eye to eye on the marble at the foot of the throne, staring at each other, dying. Each trembled as uncontrollable twitches ran through his limbs. Each breathed terrible, labored breaths in time with the other. Roth's eyes brimmed with fear, panic so intense it paralyzed. He seemed to no longer see Kylar lying inches away. His gaze grew more distant and filled with soul-deep terror. Kylar was content. This Night Angel had apportioned death, and death was his portion. It wasn't nice, but it was just. This sentence was deserved. Watching Roth's eyes finally glaze in restless death, Kylar wished there were something more beautiful to find in death than justice, but he didn't have the strength to turn away from this life, this death, this terrible justice. Then, someone turned him over. A woman. She came into focus slowly. It was Eline. She pulled Kylar into her lap, stroked his hair. She was crying. Kylar couldn't see her scars. He reached a hand up, touched her face. She was angelic. Then he saw his hand. It was perfect, whole, and amazingly, unbloodied. For the first time in his life, his hands were clean. Clean. Death came. Kylar yielded.